Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide. And today I am thrilled to have Dr. Dan Schaefer with me. Dr. Dan, welcome.
How are you doing? Thanks for the invitation, Maria.
Yeah, so glad to have you. So to start out with, tell our audience a bit about you.
Okay. I am a business and sports psychologist. I am not a therapist. I'm not a coach. I work on mind game strategies for people who want to improve or want to reach some goals, want to reach their dreams, really. And what I do is that everybody I'm working with today is in 2028 working backwards. And okay. We work backwards from 2028 to today to find anything they could possibly do that will derail them on their plans to get where they want to go. And that's why I think the synergy between what you do and what I do is very interesting, because a lot of it has to do with the way they talk to themselves.
Absolutely. I can imagine. So for our audience, explain a little bit more what you mean about starting in 2028 and working backwards. How would you translate that for the audience?
Well, our cognitive mind is very intelligent, but our subconscious mind is really, really, really very smart. And it will remember all kinds of things. So with athletic performance, a quarterback does not throw a pass because he is he thinks about it. Thinking seems to get in the way. Thinking gets in the way of somebody's golf game. Thinking gets in the way of someone's business development. But what I find frequently working with people globally is that they often don't have a target. So you can never hit a target that you don't have. So the subconscious mind must act out every thought, image, or idea that you put into it. And it will do that relentlessly unless you get in its way. So I help people identify what's in their way and to notice the way they talk to themselves. So, for example, I have someone right now who's filling out a survey that I have to find out the way they're talking to themselves. So I would, for example, with you, I would say, what is Maria? Hear Maria saying to Maria, well, Maria overhears Maria talking to Maria.
Got it.
And, you know, so it's listening to that and then the ability to realize just how much power we have to control that.
Yeah, that's so important. So are you thinking, so would somebody be thinking about where do I want to be in 2028 and then working backwards? Or is it, are they working towards something, or is the idea planted and they're avoiding mistakes? Like, how do you distinguish between that?
Well, because I think the thing is this is about dreaming. This is not goal setting.
Yeah.
See, people set goals for 2 years. This is a dream.
Okay.
And what I really find doing both with people in business and in sports, help them live out their dream. And not get in the way. So how do you realize your dream? You have to have it first.
Yeah, you do. And so how do you encourage people to actually figure out what their dream is?
Well, I use a hybrid hypnosis strategy that helps somebody to go out and actually see where they are. For example, I'm working right now with a young woman who is a gymnast. She's fourth in the top in the country. She just won in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Preparing for a competition this weekend. And what I do is I take them to the place they're going to be competing.
Okay.
Watch themselves compete under hypnosis. Absolutely perfectly.
Uh-huh.
So their whole performance is in their subconscious mind.
Right.
Just have them review it subconsciously and watch it.
Okay.
One of the things that happens, Maria, with me is I tend to defy conventional wisdom. A lot of it is invisible. Almost all of it's invisible. And nobody talks about it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So for anyone who is, okay, somebody has a dream and their thoughts are getting in their way. So they've got mind cluck that's messing up their ability to move towards their dream.
Right.
What do you do? What are your, can you describe some of your techniques about how to change how you talk to yourself?
Yeah, it's really done on an individual basis.
Yeah.
For example, if someone is troubled mm-hmm. by the constant mind chatter that they hear over and over and over and over again, mm-hmm. There's a way to stop that. There's a way to control it. And a way to stop it is just to push your tongue up onto the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
When your tongue is on the roof of your mouth, you can't think of anything. So you can stop it over and over and over again. On a deeper level, it really comes back to, does the person really know how good they do what they do, how accomplished uh-huh. they are? Frequently, they don't recognize it. So a lot of my practice, Marie, is getting people to recognize obstacles and distractions. Uh-huh. So if the distraction is the way they talk to themselves, then we control that or we shut it off. I worked with a guy from a baseball team some years ago. He said to me, concentration is thinking about absolutely nothing at just the right time.
Oh, I like that definition. That's such a good definition.
How do you prepare for an event you're coming up to mm-hmm. and not to think about something? Well, there's a way to do that, but it's individual. You have to know what somebody's saying to themselves before. I'll give a perfect example. One of the sports I do a lot of work with is golfers.
Okay.
And I have a guy who's going to be calling me tomorrow. He did his golf analysis. So I'll say to somebody, tell me how your clubs talk to you when you touch them. So you pick up one club and listen to what the golf club says to you when you touch it.
Uh-huh.
Well, on the survey he sent me, which we're going to be reviewing tomorrow, he says, I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want this to happen. Well, the problem there is that the subconscious mind never understands a negative command.
Yes, I have heard that before. That's so important.
Ask a golfer to tee a ball up over a water hole and hit the ball, and he'll tell you it's probably going into the water. Because he's saying to himself, I don't want it to go in the water.
Right.
So it's being very, as I said, what does Maria hear Maria saying to Maria when Maria overhears Maria talking to Maria?
Yeah.
So it's getting people to listen to this conversation that frequently is not productive. I mean, my newest client right now is in eighth grade. She's a swimmer.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And I said to her, what do you say to yourself? What do you hear yourself saying to yourself? And she doesn't particularly care for the way she talks to herself. So I said, so you're not permitted. You need my permission to beat yourself up.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
Before you beat yourself up, call me on the phone and ask permission.
Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
And you know what? She says, what's going to happen when I call? Am I going to get permission? I says, absolutely not.
Yeah, of course not.
So it becomes, as much as it looks like it's group situations, it's very, very individual.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me that it would be very individual. I think it is really helpful, though, for our audience to hear some of these examples, because these are things that people could apply. Situation.
Being that this is, when I say I'm not a therapist mm-hmm. Or a coach, I'm a strategist.
Yes.
So I was working with a global company in Geneva, and a woman who ran finance for that company in Germany said to me, can we have breakfast? So we met for breakfast. She said, I have three problems. She says, my first problem is I'm pregnant.
Oh.
He said, the second problem is that I have three people who are trying to get my position when I get back. And I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is I'm going to be flying back and I'm kind of uncomfortable flying.
Oh, okay.
So we use this strategy that I've developed. It's kind of a hybrid hypnosis strategy. Uh-huh. That we do over the phone or in person. But we did set a strategy up so that she gradually started to have meetings away from her office. So okay. That she started to bring her team with her. And then they went to a restaurant, and then it's a long story for another, how it all worked out. But at the end of the day, she was able to continue to work with her team. She shut out her competition. Uh-huh. And she won.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
I'm about people winning.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Going back to your mind can't recognize a negative, how do you take, if you're telling yourself, like, I cannot do that, like, I don't want to hit the ball into the water, how do you flip that?
It just, first of all, the most important part, and we've talked about this offline, is you have to recognize and notice what you're saying to yourself. So yeah. I'll say to somebody, listen to the way you talk. This is a significant part of my survey. Listen to how you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
But don't change anything.
Okay.
Don't stop. Call me and tell me what you're saying to yourself, what you overhear.
Right.
Because it gets somebody to be aware of, am I really speaking to myself in a way that can help me realize what I want?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Very important. So would you take, so for somebody listening, if they're thinking, oh, you know what, I would like tee up that shot and think, oh, I don't want this to go in the water. What would be, would you say instead, like, I am going to make the shot perfectly, or is it not that simple? Like, can you tell yourself something like that?
You pick a target out on a fairway and you hit the ball to where your target is.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But the thing is noticing the destructive conversation early and stopping.
Right.
I tell people, don't speak to yourself in a way that you would not want somebody else to speak to you.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
Well, it's getting people to be aware of this, and people are amazed when we work together about how much they know that they don't know that they know about their mind's ability to relax their body and control their body.
Yeah, that's really important. Can you give us an example there?
Let me think. You know, it's hard for me to come up with an example right now.
Okay.
But I, you know.
That's okay.
One of the other things I said to this young woman the other day, I said is, are you a good swimmer? She said, yeah, I'm a great swimmer. Uh-huh. I said, do you know why God made your arms so long? So she said, no. I said, so you can pat yourself on the back from time to time.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, coaches are critical. People are critical of themselves. Friends are critical. So you have to take control of your mind game. If you want to get ahead. So I'll give you another example. I had a guy call me. He said to me, I have a wrestling team that's going into a competition. He said, I know you work with athletes. Uh-huh. Could you come out and work with them? I said, I talked to the team about preparing to win and all that kind of stuff. And then I hypnotized the team, and that was it. 2 weeks later, I got a call from a guy and said, I understand you just did this program for them. And he said, I am a golfer. He said, I'm a 3 handicap. I want to shoot scratch. I want to be a perfect golfer. He said, can you see me at my office? So I got into his office. And as we're walking through the office, he's going, oh, my golf swing and all. When we get to the office, he pushes all the stuff off the desk that I had sent him, all the golf stuff. He said, this is not about golf. He says, I'm in the middle of one of the biggest mergers and acquisitions going on in the country today.
Oh,
he
wow.
said, and I need to, I, he said, I want to get this position. He said, and I have 3 people who I have to persuade and influence to give me the position. Long story short, how we did it, that's another podcast.
Okay.
but he got the position, and then he said to me, he said, well, how can I help you? I said, well, do you know anybody else in the same situation you are in, somebody who's alone at the top, who has no one they can talk to, no one to bounce anything off of? He said, yeah, I know plenty of them. I said, well, can you refer them to me? He says, no. He says, I can't tell anybody about you. So I become an invisible strategist for people. I have phone calls that never happen. You know, someone will be able to call my phone and, you know, I have a 15-minute free phone call and just tell me what's going on. Tell me what you need to have happen right now. And if I can help you, you will figure it out.
Yeah, that's amazing. So for our audience, do you have tips and tricks and exercises and ideas and things that people can try on their own?
Yeah. And what they can do is they can go to my website, and on the website are some surveys.
Okay.
And they can fill a survey out if they wish. It'll give them an idea of the kind of questions I ask. Uh-huh. Then if they want to engage with me, they can call me, or they can email the survey back to me. And they'll learn a lot by looking at the survey. You know,
yeah.
Because it... You know, the questions are, how do you talk to yourself? When does the self-talk start?
Uh-huh.
Does it start when you're on the way? You know, I work with some people with pre-surgical.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who say, you know, I don't want, I have a client who I just spoke to about 3 weeks ago. She's going in for lung surgery. I said, where do you... She said, I don't want to be in the hospital. I said, where do you want to be? She said, I'd love to be at the beach. So I showed her how to go to the beach.
Uh-huh.
And take herself out of where she is to someplace else.
Yeah, that's such a valuable thing to do.
And again, when you put yourself in a position of somebody in that situation, who can you talk to? Nobody. And usually the people that you ask about this stuff have no experience and are not in a position to help you, I think, anyway. That's what I've discovered. And people go, now, who do I talk to now? And when people have a question, they almost always, I'm sure you find this, Maria, go to the wrong person who has no ability to help them.
Well, I think so often, I mean, I noticed that I've done this myself. I struggle with something and I think, okay, I'm going to talk to this person in my life. And as soon as I get them on the phone or see them in person, I'm like, nope, wrong person. This person isn't going to offer me what I need. But I think so much about what you're talking about, it's all self-awareness. And so it's starting to really understand, like, I love that you say, you know, not only what am I saying to myself, but also when, because when is really relevant. Like, do you start to beat yourself up in certain situations, or is it constant? Like that gives you a lot of really useful information for guiding somebody to shift how their mind is treating them.
But it's being able to be able to notice it.
Yes.
Notice when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And so how do people start to notice? They'll just take a look around. They say, I'm focusing on this screen now. What's distracting me? Is a car going by? And is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you a very interesting. I had a guy call me up and he said, my daughter put herself through law school. Uh-huh. He said, what most troubles me, she never took the bar exam. She has a very good job doing something else with another company, but I wanted to pass the bar. Mm-hmm. So I said to her, he said, and she tells me every time I bring it up to her, and this, I work a lot with parents trying to help their kids in these situations.
Okay.
So she said, she doesn't want to be a lawyer. I said, tell her that I have some bad news for her. She already is a lawyer. She just hasn't taken the test. So she agreed to sit down and work with me. She decided to take the bar exam. And no one has ever failed a bar exam that worked with me on this. So this is
okay.
So I said, she said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, I don't know if you're going to believe me. She says, I think there's a plot against me. I said, what's the plot? Huh? She's built by the contractor who built the building where I take the test. I said, how so? She said, when I walk in the door, I know everything that I need to know when I'm out in the hallway. But when I walk in, I feel like there are magnets in the door sucking everything out. Because when I go in and sit down for the test, I can't think of anything.
Wow.
So I said, that's easy. She said, how so? I said, we just reverse the magnets. Imagine how much other stuff is in there. So she laughed at that, but she went in. But she was able to go into this test and put herself into a bubble. Mm-hmm. She didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you say to a kid, how do you turn down negative self-talk that you hear? You say, well, when you want to ignore what your parents tell you, what do? Oh, I can do that easily. I said, okay.
That is a really good one. I
said, do the same thing. Ignore it.
Yeah.
It's that if the once the subconscious mind is locked on the goal and the objective in the dream, then you just let it run and you trust it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that trust is such a big part of, like, I call it relaxing the mind, like letting the mind actually flow, is trusting that it's going to go where you need it to go and give you the information that you need and enable you to do things that, you know, some kind of mind chatter could be telling you, no, you can't do that, but you actually can.
I believe that. I believe that what draws, you see, people are struggling toward goals. They'll set a goal and struggle toward the goal. When you get the dream into your subconscious mind, your subconscious mind drags you toward it. So I have a silo system where I create these silos.
Okay.
And have somebody print them out, and they'll put 8 or 10 silos up on a wall, and they'll put their objectives into the silos.
Okay.
And once they put the objective in there, they never have to read them again. Subconscious mind reads them.
Uh-huh.
And so somebody will get a great idea, and they'll be sitting in a restaurant. You can take a post-it note, you know, and put a note on a post, and you take the post-it note and stick it in the silo that applies to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just telling the subconscious mind, I want this to happen. This is the plan. This is the result I want to have happen. So, and does it work for everybody? Is this for everybody? Absolutely not. Okay. I have people say to me, you know, I'm a control freak, so I don't want anybody to hypnotize me. I said, first of all, this is not Hollywood hypnosis.
Yeah.
When I wrote on my website, it's an article called There's Money in Mistakes.
Okay.
I believe that almost everybody sells mistakes. Huh. Somebody, why would anybody want to buy a mistake? Because they don't want to make it.
Yeah.
It's a lot cheaper to buy the mistake first and not make it, then you never have to pay for the solution.
Right.
when do you want it? You want it before. The words, Maria, that I hear a lot is before. I wish I spoke to you before. Sooner. I wish I talked to you sooner. You know, what kind of questions are people asking? You know, they really, people really want fantastic answers. And to get fantastic answers, you have to ask superb questions.
Yes.
So people work on the questions. So who do the questions apply to? How do you think strategically about this stuff? You just not wander along doing what everybody else has done. You know, it's the I don't know whether you've read the Blue Ocean Strategies, but it's very interesting where they say, you know, everybody in any business, everybody is working in a red ocean.
Uh-huh.
You have to be different than other people. And so how much time do you have? I have a whole thing I do about the cost of what it costs to operate your life and your business on myths.
Ah, so yeah.
Build a business. we'll talk about the 30-second elevator pitch. There, somebody will help them. People aren't going to listen to you for 30 seconds.
You have
6 seconds to get your message across.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? When somebody says to me, what do you do? I said, well, basically, I sell mistakes. Nobody ever doesn't say to me, what are you talking about? And anybody can do this.
Uh-huh.
And for your listeners, make a list of the mistakes that your clients have made before they became your client.
Uh-huh.
And what it cost them in money, emotion, and reputation.
Uh-huh.
And then promote your business based on selling those mistakes.
Uh-huh.
I said to an attorney who was a client of mine, I said to him, give me an example of somebody who you sold a mistake to. He said, I had a guy, he's a matrimonial attorney, he said, I had a guy call me up and say, I want to come in and retain you to handle my divorce.
Okay.
So he said, this is Friday afternoon. He said, I'll see you Monday morning. He says, but don't talk to anybody. So I said, just the way you said that to me tells me that he talked to somebody.
Oh.
He said, yeah. He said, absolutely, he did. And it cost him $250,000. One phone call he made on Friday.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, somebody said to me, you know, this whole selling mistakes, give me an example. I said, perfect. You tell me you're driving from New York to LA.
Okay.
I say to you, I have a book right here with all the radar traps between here and LA.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to buy it now? Or do you want to wait till you get to LA?
That's good. That's a good example.
I want it now. So, but you know, one of the things I think that with, because we've spoken before this show, you kind of defy conventional wisdom, and so do I. Uh-huh. And I, people are attracted to, if I'm doing the same thing that I've done over and over and over again, and I'm getting the same negative results, why do I want to keep doing it?
Yeah. Because
nothing else. And, you know, we were brought up in a generation where daydreaming was a negative. Don't daydream. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spoke to somebody the other day about ADD. So they have a lot of people who have ADHD. And I said, I think, and the people I've run into who said to me, I have ADD. I said, you're talking to the right guy. Because yeah. I think it's creativity.
But yeah, it so easily can be.
So if you can be confident enough to take a post-it note and write down what idea comes into your head, mm-hmm. get yourself back into the process. I'll give you another tip on focus and concentration.
Okay.
You pick a place, pick a spot right on your desk. And focus on it intently.
Okay.
Don't move your eyeballs. Tell me what you're aware of out of your right peripheral vision.
My dog.
Okay. What are you aware of out of your left peripheral vision?
A raincoat.
Okay, good. Now get all those three things together. This thing you're looking at, your dog and a coat.
Okay.
You got them all?
Yep.
Now try to think of something. You can't think of anything.
Yeah, it's so true.
So all you need to do, and I do this with hockey players,
uh-huh.
you know, just expand your peripheral vision right and left, and you'll focus right on the puck for goaltenders anyway.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So now you take a goalie and you say, you know, you're in a high-pressure situation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to have happen? I need to increase my concentration. I need to focus more. What gets in the way? Well, the way I talk to myself. And so when a professional athlete or student athlete feels that they're slipping,
mm-hmm.
who do they talk to? Can't talk to a coach, they'll pull them out.
Right.
Can't talk to a trainer, they'll do the same thing. They mm-hmm. can't talk to their wife or their girlfriend because they're not trained to figure this out. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
The guy is in a situation, and this happens in business. He's in a situation and he has no one he can talk to, no one he can seek any advice from, no one he's free to talk to, so it's a tremendous risk.
Right. Right, because you're talking about trust. So it's like there's no one he can trust with the information that he has.
There's no way he can trust because that, and then is the person he's talking to, does the person he is talking to have the ability to help him?
Yeah, right, right.
No. You know, I when I wrote my book, and we can talk about that in a minute. When I wrote the book, I went to people I knew who I had helped. And Chad Pennington was a quarterback for the Jets and the Dolphins, wrote the foreword to my book about our work together.
Oh, great.
But he's the only one. Most people in there were some testimonials, but basically the key people that really dealt with high level stuff didn't want to even be written in a book. Yeah. Anybody didn't know I talked to you. Because yeah. You know, there are strategies where you can perform really, really well in negotiations.
Uh-huh.
By using embedded commands and language.
Uh-huh.
And get a competitive edge, and nobody knows it.
Yeah. Wow. So we're getting close to the end of our time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, my book is, I should have had a copy of it. My book
That's
is
okay.
Click, C-L-I-C-K, Click, The Competitive Edge for Business, Sports, and Entertainment. I tell people, I may be one of the few authors in the world who tell you, buy my book, but don't read it.
Oh.
Scroll the table of contents and let your subconscious mind tell you exactly the part you need to read for what you're going into. So it's not reading the book from cover to cover. It's using it as a resource on a daily basis to say, what are my challenges this week and what do I do with it?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, but it's a lot of stories of people and strategies to give you an edge, to do something different than your competition is doing.
That is so good. So do you have any last thing that you want to share with our audience before we sign off?
Yeah, just dream. Mm-hmm. And go to my website. There's a lot of information on there. And if it makes sense to you, give me a call. You can book a call on my calendar. Call up and talk to me. And I may be able to help you or may not. I don't know.
Okay.
But ask yourself the question, what do you need to have happen right now that's not happening?
Uh-huh.
And if you know what's in the way, fine. But if you don't know what's in the way, then it's helpful to find out. See, people call Maria and say, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I say, you know, stuck is not the worst place to be.
Uh-huh.
The worst place to be is to be running rapidly in the wrong direction.
Ah, that's true. Yeah.
So I'll give you an image that I use a lot. And I know people will never forget it. They said, when should we call you? And I'll say, imagine a big fan.
Uh-huh.
Packed with wet manure.
Okay.
And a guy with a plug by an outlet.
Uh-huh.
Before he puts the plug in the wall.
That is very vivid. That's great. So everyone, we will have links to Dr. Dan's book and website and everything else in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really great to have you.
It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. To our audience, have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of Mind Cluck clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.